This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Tuesday, the 8th of June. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me today is
Frida Liu.
What are we going to be talking about today, Frida?
A lot of things. We'll be talking about potential vaccine fees for mall workers, goals for year-end herd immunity, and pharmacists' difficulties operating in the lockdown.
Aren't they essential?
They should be essential services.
Yes, if you'd like to chime in and comment at any point of the show, you can reach us at 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also tweet us or reach us on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. Like Frida suggested earlier, we're going to be talking about vaccine fees for mall workers. So earlier this month, the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Ministry confirmed that it was working with the COVID-19 Immunization Task Force or CITF to roll out the Economic Frontliners Vaccination Program for the retail sector this month. Its Minister Datuk Sri Alexander Nandalingi said, as economic frontliners, the retail sector was crucial in ensuring that the supply of food and daily necessities were always sufficient to meet market demands. Now, this vaccination exercise is expected to see 500,000 employees in the retail industry inoculated. This is nationwide, of course. And according to the Malaysia Shopping Malls Association, or PPK, the program should roll out by the end of this month once they finalise the locations and other details to carry it out.
So following the news, there's been plenty of talk about the cost of vaccinating these mall workers. PPK says workers expected to pay a reduced charge of 50 ringgit for on-site COVID-19 vaccinations after malls agreed to subsidise the costs of the exercise. In the statement, PPK explained that the cost of providing the venue, logistics, manpower and standby ambulance service for the on-site vaccination centre will amount to 100 to 150 ringgit per person, depending on the volume and total number of doses available each day, the total population to be vaccinated and the duration to complete all the doses. Therefore, it's decided that the malls will subsidise these costs and charge 10 ringgit per dose or 20 ringgit per participant for both shots to partially defray their expenses and to avoid absenteeism. However, the association said Protect Health Corporation Sdn Bhd, which will provide the medical staff for the exercise, will charge participants an additional 15 ringgit to administer each dose. That's 30 ringgit per participant because two doses, right?
Yeah.
And bringing a total charge per participant to 50 ringgit. PPK also said the initiative has garnered an enthusiastic response from its members and retailers, with more than 50 malls expressing interest to host vaccination centres nationwide.
Now, on the flip side, there have been profiteering concerns regarding the vaccine fee that malls are charging their tenants. Now, economist Dr. Jeffrey Williams, who we will have on the line after the break. Now, he said this last week. He said that the vaccination drive for retail workers should be optional rather than compulsory if the cost of vaccination remains contentious. He told the Malaysian Reserve that if they are forced to take the vaccine or lose their job, then this is not fair. But if they choose to take it for work purposes, then the employer should pay. It should not be compulsory, but in effect that it is. So there are human rights issues and personal protection issues in the workplace here. That was according to Professor Jeffrey Williams. He also added that the fees charged will most likely go to the private companies who are making money off the public who want to be vaccinated fast. He cited concerns about profiteering in the private healthcare system during the pandemic. And I think like in March last year, one hospital was fined 200,000 ringgit for profiteering by charging, I think, 11 ringgit plus for face masks that was fixed at 150 by law, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So Williams said, because it is allowed by the law and legal, there was nothing to stop malls from doing this, provided regulations are strictly followed. He said, and I quote, while it could help to reopen malls earlier, it needs to be properly regulated and not interfere with the national vaccine rollout. Of course, many people will also subject to queue jumping, but others think it takes the pressure off the public system. And, you know, he ended by saying malls are opting for this vaccination program so they can reopen quicker. But the issue is not the staff, but the customers who will spread the virus. The vaccine might protect staff a little if it is effective, but there is still a risk.
Right. So the Malaysian Shopping Malls Association, meanwhile, said it's disappointed with the profiteering allegations that have been circulating in the media. It also insisted that it will not be making any profit from initiative.
Right, yeah. Right. So all this was in the news last week. But just over the weekend, in yet another update on Sunday, there were quite a few. Several malls and retailers associations reiterated their eagerness to help the government with the vaccination program and offered their premises to be used as vaccination centres and PPVs. Now, the association also stressed that they will subsidise the cost of the vaccination as a way to further help efforts by the federal government to vaccinate a sizable amount of the general population. And while confirming that the vaccines will be provided by the Malaysian government for free under this partnership, PPK said shopping malls will be paying for the fees for doctors, nurses and medical officers to the Health Ministry-owned Protect Health Corporation and all ancillary costs.
Right. So, however, both Protect Health Corporation and the Ministry of Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs have denied collecting any fees from participating malls as the vaccination program is already offered for free by the government. So, in the statement, all four organizations acknowledge the vaccination efforts and the program are provided free by the government. However, it points to efforts taken by other private entities to provide vaccination shots at a cost.
Now, you know what happens when there is a... Because vaccination in this country is free, right? It is subsidized by the government. Now, the minute you assign a cost, when something has to come out of pocket, then there's always the question of where is this money going?
Right.
Right? What is it being used for? Now, if we look back at what the PPK says, the Malls Association, what they said is it's about 100 to 150 person to... for the ambulance service for on-site. And then this, of course, depending on the volume and total number of doses available each day, the total population to be vaccinated and the duration to complete all the doses. And then, of course, they have to pay, if I'm not mistaken, right. Protect Health Corp. They will charge each participant about 15 ringgit to administer each dose. But then you've got the Protect Health Corp as well and the government saying that, you know, all fees, they have denied collecting any fees from participating malls for the program. So there's a lot of he said, she said in this.
Right, right. And the thing is, right, I know, you know, like at the end of the day, we just want to get this done as soon as possible, right? But the moment, you know, there's money in it and you question, right? And why do we question? Because we just, you know, we're always doubting, right? What is behind it? Because at the end of the day, I think in some places, like, okay, this is the way it's done. You can either wait or if you want to do it in a hurry, right? We'll cover the costs and all that. But the moment there's money, people are just going to question it. So,
yeah. So now, this story is slightly confusing because there are many parties, you know, kind of expressing what it's like from their point of view, right? And if you've been following the story over the last week or so, you'll know that there have been varying views about this in the press itself. Now, when we come back, we'll be speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Williams. He's an economist and professor at Malaysia University of Science and Technology. And we'll be asking him about to explain more about these profiteering concerns and what we can do to kind of help alleviate all these concerns and issues, right? And in the meantime, if you have any comments or you'd like to chime in and give us your thoughts, 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. Our handle is
BFM Radio. And I think we'll continue the story. I just had a thought as well, you know, it is really a life or death situation, right? I mean, if we take the money aside, it's not a lot, right, in the scheme of things, right? It's about your life, but we just, you know, there's also the repercussions of what happens after that. So anyway, that's just going through my head at the moment.
All right. When we come back, we'll have Dr. Jeffrey Williams on the line. But for now, here's the Black Keys with Go. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And we're back. You are listening
in black. We are back in black.
Yes, we are. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. And we have Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist and professor at Malaysia University of Science and Technology, on the line with us. Professor, thank you for agreeing to speak with us. Now, coming back to my first question. Now, this might be a capitalist point of view, but if private companies can make a profit by administrating COVID-19 vaccines, won't that encourage more companies to get involved and actually speed up the vaccination process?
Okay, so in the shopping mall case, we're not really talking about private capitalist profit-motivated incentives for private healthcare companies to speed up the vaccination process. What we're talking about here are retailers and shopping mall owners, and they have no expertise in healthcare. and they're aiming to make money from a captive audience of workers who are being forced to pay for vaccines, which should be free. Mm. And they're collaborating with a government-linked company called Protect Health. Now, this isn't capitalism. This is what we call antitrust or monopoly or cartelization. It's exploiting an uncompetitive situation to take advantage of people who are actually quite vulnerable. Mm. It's the antithesis of capitalism, actually. It's the opposite of capitalism. It's anti-competitive. And people in the healthcare industry, private healthcare providers, might have reason to be concerned about how this deal was done and whether there was an open competitive tendering process or not. What we're aiming to do with the vaccination process is to get as many people as possible through the vaccine administration to achieve herd immunity as quickly as we can. Now, if you charge fees, then this is going to be a disincentive to get vaccinated. So if we look at countries such as the United States, for example, where almost all healthcare is private, even there, there are no fees at all for the patient who's receiving the vaccine. So they don't pay for the vaccine itself. They don't pay for the nurse or the doctor who's administering the vaccine. There's no administration cost, no registration fee, nothing for PPE or any of the equipment, nothing. And in the United Kingdom, where our National Health Service is, of course, free of charge, there have been no fees at all. Now, both the United States and particularly the United Kingdom have had a fantastic rate of vaccination. And in the UK, more than half of the population have had both doses. I think more than 70% have had at least one dose. And we're going to achieve herd immunity by the summer, the end of the summer. Now, in Malaysia, the slow rate of vaccination was due to begin with to restrictions in supply and some logistics. It wasn't really due to a lack of people or clinics to administer the vaccines to the population. Now, in fact, we appear to be through that problem, and capacity is ramping up now. We even have drive-through options and these mega PPV centers, which are all available, and we're seeing a very big increase in the rate of vaccination, the number of people every day who are getting the vaccine. And this is really good. So there's no need to incentivize private clinics to do it, actually, with a profit motive or otherwise. And in fact, there are some private clinics that are taking part, but even in those cases, the vaccine is free to patients. And that's how it should be, because that's how it's been so successful in the United Kingdom and the United States.
Right. So is the compulsory nature of this rollout the most uncomfortable aspect of this entire scenario?
Well, of course, everybody should be allowed to choose whether to take the vaccine or not. Now, in this case, it appears that people are given a choice either to take the vaccine or to lose their job if they refuse. And this is immoral and it's possibly unlawful. But of course, they will have very little chance of a remedy in law if that happens. Is the compulsory nature of this rollout the most uncomfortable aspect? Well, the compulsion is very uncomfortable, but I think it's just as bad that people are being asked or forced to pay for it themselves. We have to remember who these guys are, actually. We're talking about aunties who clean the stores and uncles who are security guards, people working in food courts, cooking food all day, cleaning dirty leftovers, storemen working in the cold storage, bringing out the produce for the shelves. And of course, the shop assistants themselves, a lot of them are paid on commission basis. They're all very badly paid, actually. They have very poor terms and conditions of employment. They can be hired and fired on a whim. Many are foreign workers. Often they're exploited. They're dealt with through agents. Their passports are withheld. They all work very long hours, and at the end of it, they leave with barely enough to live on for themselves or their families. And by contrast, they're being asked by multi-millionaire store owners, sometimes multi-billionaire store owners, to pay costs for vaccines that actually should be free. So you have the people who clean the toilets paying with their own money to keep their jobs, and that money is going to multimillionaires who own the shopping malls and the retail outlets. And this is big money, actually. And according to the data that we have available, there could be as many as 500,000 people involved in this program. And based on the conservative costs from the Malaysia Shopping Mall Association, of 50 ringgit for each vaccination. This is a total of 25 million ringgit, which is shared 10 million to the retailers and 15 million ringgit to protect health if everyone takes part. And in other instances, it's more. And some members of the media have quoted, for example, 100 ringgit per person. Now, the economics of this are very clear. The program will not cost 25 million ringgit. And the vaccines themselves are free. So this is why there is a concern about possible profiteering. And this is a big issue, because profiteering in private healthcare is making people very angry. For example, the Galen Center, which is a specialist health policy think tank, has highlighted these issues in the case of PPE, for example, at some of the private hospitals.
Right.
And they go so far as to name these hospitals so that people can be aware of it and make a choice as consumers. And in March of last year, at least one private hospital was fined 200,000 ringgit for selling face masks at 11 ringgit 20 when they should be 1 ringgit 50 and their price is fixed. And that is profiteering. Now, the Association of Private Hospitals Malaysia President Kuljit Singh, he's repeatedly denied profiteering in the private hospitals. But actually, there is public domain evidence that it was his own hospital at Prince Court Medical Center that was fined for overcharging. Now, there may be a reasonable explanation for that. It might be a billing error, for example. But the fact that it's being covered up erodes trust in the system. And at the moment, we need public trust more now than ever. And so I think he should clarify what happened in that case.
Right. So obviously the vaccines are supposed to be free as promised by the government. So what can they do to rectify the situation?
Okay, well, part of the cost in the shopping mall case are due to the fees that are charged by a government-owned company called Protect Health Corporation. And the directors of that company are all civil servants. One of them is Nur Hisham Abdullah, the Director General for Health. So because it's a government-owned company, the government can simply instruct them to waive the fee. Now, actually, there appears to be a conflict of interest here because you have public servants who can influence public policy in such a way that a company that they are connected with would benefit financially. Now, it doesn't really matter that they themselves don't benefit personally. The fact that the company will benefit raises a potential conflict of interest. The correct governance process is that they should recuse themselves from that type of decision. And if they can't, well, then they should resign. Now, these sort of governance issues and conflicts of interest, these were highlighted before the pandemic by the former DG for Health, Tantri Ismail Merican, who is now in a private practice working at Prince Court Medical Center. And Prof. Adiba has also raised these issues in a recent webinar on public health, when she pointed out that any DG, whoever it might be, holds so many ex officio positions on regulatory bodies, policy organizations, and commercial bodies associated with health in Malaysia, that there are bound to be conflicts of interest. Mm-hmm. And so this is a systemic problem, according to the senior physicians. And I think that it requires reform by the government, and it's very ripe for reform after the pandemic, of course. Another part of the fee is a private charge by the owners of the shopping malls and the retail outlets. Now, frankly, I think that they should be ashamed of themselves for asking so many low-paid staff to cover these costs. And they should just absorb the costs themselves and find a way to write them off through their accounts. And I think that there are some industry leaders, such as Jeffrey Che from the Sunway Group, for example, or the Maidin boss, Amir Alim Maidin, they should step up and they should lead on this, actually. Mm. Sunway Group, for example, is committed to corporate social responsibility. And I actually wrote their first CSR report. So I know very well that they are committed to responsible business and corporate social responsibility. They're also a signatory to the Sustainable Development Goals. And goal number one is to end poverty. Mm. Goal number three is good health and well-being.
Right.
Goal number eight is to promote decent work. And goal number 17 is to work with other people to make sure that the overall sustainable development goal process is put into place. And I believe if they respect these issues and they're truly committed to corporate responsibility, then they should step up to the plate and fix this problem by paying the fees themselves encouraging the other mall owners and retail companies to pay the fees and not to pass them on to people living on poverty wages. And this is what we mean by responsible capitalism.
Right, kind of lead the way. All right, Professor, what are some of the biggest pitfalls that could arise due to this privatization and decentralization of vaccines? And similarly, what are some of the upsides to this?
Okay, I think that the biggest pitfall is the crushing exposure of the poor attitude of management and leadership shown by the mall owners and the retailers. It's a signal of how badly they treat their staff, and it's quite shocking, actually. So we've seen this quite often during the pandemic, unfortunately, for example, in the glove industry and the forced labor issues that have been going on there. Mm. And the biggest pitfall is that this will harm people's trust in the national immunization program if they feel it's being exploited for profit. And this causes vaccine hesitancy, and that's exactly the opposite of what we need. From a social market perspective, we call this the privatization of profits and the socialization of costs. Actually, what we need now is some solidarity and a sense that we're all in this together. Mm. If we want to think about some upsides, if someone were to step up and show some leadership and some integrity on this issue and stop the profiteering, then that would go a long way to restoring public trust and to reducing vaccine hesitancy. And then the vaccine process could be quicker in the retail sector, and then the malls could reopen sooner and we could get back to more active business. And that's what everybody wants.
Right. Final question, Professor. There's already an issue of a vaccine hierarchy with people potentially having access to elite brands, elite in inverted commas, like Pfizer and Moderna through private companies for a fee. Will this have any have an adverse effect on the national immunization program?
I don't think that this is such an issue because the government will allow these brands to be provided privately only later in the process around September or October. And there is a schedule for the NIP. And I think the government is sticking to the schedule. And in some cases, it's ahead of schedule. And so they're dealing with access to these higher brand vaccines in ways that don't really conflict with their procurement arrangements. And to me, that's very sensible. Now, Kuljit Singh, on behalf of the private hospitals, has been lobbying for them to be allowed to offer this service, but he's now publicly conceded that the private sector isn't part of that solution. And so people should just forget it and not wait for them. So it's important that people don't wait around for these higher brand vaccines and they get vaccinated as soon as possible.
Right. Thank you for that, Professor. That was Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist and professor at Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Now, we need to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, we'll talk about achieving herd immunity by the end of the year, what we need to get to that point, as well as a story about how pharmacists are finding it difficult to operate during the lockdown. All that and more happening on Enterprise Biz Bytes. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.